From the heart of Europe to the world, this is RTI.
Welcome to Postcard from Pop Rad, boys and girls, on a day where we might die in 24 hours' time. We might live. If you're listening to the recording of this, we are still alive. Are you following this? No, I'm probably not. No. Anyway, my name's Eric Wiltshire at the base of the glorious Tatry Mountains. Bright sunshine here today. Still snow on the top of the mountains as I drive to work. Oh dear, what a shame. Based in Poprad in the east of Slovakia, which is why we call it Postcard from Poprad, because I'm sitting here pontificating. Over on the zit of the nose of Europe, it is none other than Mr. Lee Banks.
Hello, Eric.
Hello.
Hello, Mark. I don't want to die, Eric. Hello. I don't want to die.
Well, no, because you said on a video once that if you died, you wanted to do it in Poprad.
I want to do it in Poprad before I die, yes.
Oh, God. Oh, dear. Suffering from ice cream-itis today, it's got to be said. So if he splutters during the middle of the show, you know why. It's Mark Gander.
Yeah, hello there. Well, I'm very sorry. I don't know why. I just inadvertently picked out an ice cream, as one does, just before Eric started the introductions. I don't have any place to put it down other than down my throat.
I bet you'll get brain freeze. What?
That hurts. Doesn't it? Oh, that is so bad.
Oh, God, I've not had brain freeze for so long. I get brain freeze, but not because of ice creams. I've never had it because of ice creams for years.
But I'm not going there. Anyway, let's say hi to the guys at Talk Radio, X Replay Radio, Audio Boot, and you wonderful folks on RTI and various other outlets these days that seem to be taking us. We hope you enjoy the little programme that's coming towards you. A sideways look at the news, starting with some... We'll start off with sad news. Oh, God.
I'll be there. Carry on as if I'm not doing anything. Right. Okay.
Mark, are you awake?
Yes, I'm
awake. Oh, my word. We've got to say hi to Rosie, who's the PR manager at TomTom. Nice to have you with us, Rosie. Moving along, Zsa Zsa Gabor is currently in a coma. That's sad.
It is, isn't it?
I like her.
Yeah, I did. It doesn't mean she's in a coma van.
I don't like old people, but I kind of like Zsa Zsa Gabor. She's got some personality to her.
She's got some personality.
Charisma.
Charisma. She was also very horny.
Horny.
She was sexually attractive.
Tabloid journalists always bring it down to the lowest common denominator, don't they?
I'm not saying how low we went, but she was a sexy lady. She is still a sexy lady. I bet she looks lovely in bed.
Probably does, actually. Well, she probably needs an iron these days.
I just have to come in there and say that, because I think it's a shame to say that you don't like old people, because I have to say that
you are.
We're going to need to be liked and loved one day.
Are we?
No, we're not. Yeah. No, we're not. Not a chance.
No, I don't want to. I will happily accept my body gets old, but if my brain gets old, shoot me.
Yes.
Where would you like to be shot? In the brain, even though that's the only bit.
No, I'd like a nice sort of backdrop of the Tatras Mountains with a decent film crew. That'll do for my shooting.
Yeah, that's all right. Well, I could just shoot you loads. Like, I'll just take a hand off and then an arm and work my way around.
How does that work with a camera, then?
Oh, you mean that kind of shooting?
Stop.
I'm so ashamed now and embarrassed.
Nothing new there, then. Sad to hear the news that one of the Eurovision stalwarts of long time ago, she represented Great Britain in the Eurovision Song Contest, Kathy Kirby, has died at the princely age of 72 years old. She had huge numbers of top 10 hits and is probably better known for Secret Love, which was released in 1963, which I was reminded of. But I can only remember the first little bit of the song.
I think most people don't recognise the first bit, though, can't they?
Go on, Mark, you sing it.
Yeah, your turn, Mark.
Well, once I had a secret love. There we are. I can only remember the first bit as well.
That was very croony.
Thank you.
That was very croony.
I mean, what a shame that she died so early. And I think only last week, actually, we were commenting how many stars seem to be dying, you know, roughly between about sort of 65 and this kind of age, actually.
I think it's the sex, drugs and rock and roll scenario.
Was she that kind of lady? I think she was a bit of a lady, wasn't she?
Well, yeah, she was.
Yeah, she was, actually. No, she wasn't there. She was. I mean, she did famously do some programming on Radio Luxembourg in the 60s as well. But more recently, she lived in London, but hadn't been on the TV since the 1980s and basically became a little bit of a hermit. But there you go. Sadly lost by many, I'm sure.
I suppose the only drawback to Kathy, really, because she was gorgeous, like everybody says, and a good singer, she was born in Essex, man. She was an Essex girl.
She was.
Yeah, but she got out.
She got out! Instead of getting them out.
Yes.
That's right. That's absolutely the difference between Kathy Kirby and a Essex girl.
Correct, Lamondo. As we said at the beginning, will the world end on the 21st of May 2011? Some religious radicals seem to think so.
I don't want to die, Eric. I don't want to die.
It is, well, we'll let you know next week whether it did.
It is what? Such rubbish, isn't it?
Well, not necessarily. I tell you what, actually, I think that's terrible that you actually say that.
Where's the scientific evidence?
It's predicted in the Bible. Now, see, you can't make an argument against that, can you?
Why?
Because this bloke, I'm not saying he's right.
Right.
I'm just saying that he has done his own research and he's added up loads of different figures and things in the Bible to come up with this date, which is actually a bit earlier than other people had predicted. Nostradamus has predicted it. Everybody's predicted it.
Yeah, but Nostradamus got loads of them wrong, so what's the point?
Yeah. I hope this bloke gets it wrong as well.
He will. It's going to be a gloriously sunny day, although it has to be said, we were discussing this in the office earlier.
The sun exploding and engulfing us all.
Yeah, although I did get this wonderful feeling that came over me this morning as we were talking in the office, sort of semi-production meeting as they were laughing at the running order. One girl said to me, oh, so it's champagne and strawberries tonight then. Yippee, I'm into that.
Careful, though. I'll tell you what, I used to get in trouble because I would only buy one can of dog food at a time. And Andrea, my gorgeous young lady...
You give her dog food?
That's all you could eat, I suppose.
No, she didn't. She didn't eat the dog food. My doggy ate the dog food. But she said, why don't you buy dog food in bulk? Right, it'll be cheaper. I said, because the so-and-so might die tomorrow. And that's the way you've got to look at this 21st of May thing. So don't go out buying strawberries and cream and stuff.
I will do tonight, because it's not till tomorrow.
Yeah, but what happens if it doesn't happen? You've spent all that money on
I'll have drunk the champagne and eaten the strawberries and done whatever comes after that tonight.
Yeah, but it's a waste of money. Just do whatever comes after them without buying them in the first place.
You cheapskate. What kind of a cheapskate are you? Anyway, lovely to see the Queen smiling on her state visit to Ireland.
Yeah.
Isn't that fabulous?
Well, I think it's a great thing, yeah. And
she's done an amazing job by going over there. She's healed so many rifts.
Yes.
It's also a very dangerous
sign. Mark's still eating his ice cream by the sound of it.
No. The ice cream is well gone, actually. And I'm just agreeing completely with Lee. I think it's really excellent. I mean, I hope the rifts are healed. But at the very least, you know, I think it's really a very solid and very sincere gesture. And I think it's what was needed.
Yeah.
I think the nicest thing that happened, actually, and, you know, the chap from Sinn Féin who was banned and we used to have actors saying what he was saying, which was a ludicrous thing on BT broadcasting, he actually stood up yesterday and said how wonderful it was that the Queen had been here.
You mean Gerry Adams?
Did I not say the name? Sorry.
Yeah,
yes, Gerry Adams. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, you're allowed to say his name.
Oh, God.
No, you shouldn't say his name. In fact, we'll all have to impersonate him now.
All right.
Because he can't be himself. Anyway, he said that he is grateful for the Queen coming across and actually healing these rifts. And I think that is a major step forward.
But didn't you notice the one thing that the Queen proved? How well she's in touch with her citizens.
Or her
subjects. Did you realise how she did that?
Go on then, tell me.
When they did that concert, which apparently the British Embassy organised in Dublin, the lady that was singing there was actually on X Factor. Queen turned round to her and said, aren't you the lady from X Factor? I thought, go, Elizabeth! Hey, rock on!
I think one of her aides passed her a little piece of paper.
I'm sure she
No, she got no bits of paper in front of her at the time.
She doesn't watch X Factor, she's the Queen.
I bet she does watch. You know she's got a satellite dish, don't you?
So
she watches Aliens?
You're going to tell me she has a bottom next.
Yeah. She actually genuinely has satellite telly in Buckingham House.
Oh, I think that's really sweet. Exactly. I don't think she watches that. She's a queen. She's too intelligent to watch that. Oh, do you think she votes?
No, she voted doesn't.
For Jedward.
She does. She presses that old red button as hard as she can go. No,
excuse me. Why did you just sort of degrade satellite television?
Who?
You.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh. I don't believe in these newfangled things.
So you're telling me that somebody listening to us up in Scotland now, or yeah. on the outside of Wales, who can't pick
Who's
up...
Who's going to be on a whale?
Who can't pick up ordinary terrestrial television and gets yeah. their television via satellite, principally...
We're not on television.
Pardon?
We're not on television. We're a radio show.
I know. But are you saying that people who live in Scotland and people that live in Wales that only have the opportunity to get the proper signal, a clean signal, via satellite, therefore get their television via the satellite, namely BBC One and all those other channels in the UK? Are you saying, or are you degrading them as people?
No, I'm saying get yourselves a cat's whisper.
That's right, a cat's whisper. Or a wire coat hanger, actually. I mean, if you go yeah, to well, your local yeah. branch of Sketchley's,
exactly.
you can get one, and they work yeah. wonderfully.
Yes.
Or do what Eric said last week and get yourself a couple of toilet roll holders.
Well, this
and
is
wrap
true.
A bit of wire around them.
It won't work yeah. for us, though, because we're digital, not analogue.
And use your satellite disc as one of those Frisbee things.
Yeah.
right. Just imagine you Frisbeeing one of those, or bang! Yeah, right. There's calls for Ken Clark, who is the Justice Minister in the UK, from some quarters, to resign this week after he did a certain type of gaffe. Where, yeah. which you'll have to use his words more carefully in the future, because some are reporting that he undermined the horror of rape in some comments that he made.
I can throw light on this if you wish me to.
Well, I'll just say that the bloke said, you know, if I offended you by the way I use my words, I'm very sorry, and he said it yeah. loads of times.
He yeah, did. Absolutely. He
I
did.
Don't think he was required to say anything more. I mean, the whole, it's just a bit of sort of political, you know, score pointing. It was really quite absurd.
Would you like me to point something out to you on this?
Go on then.
Here we Ken Clark.
Here comes right. the tabloid bit.
No, it's nothing tabloid. Is it? Tabloid is just straightforward honesty.
That's the best joke I've heard this year. That has got to be the best joke I've heard this year. Oh dear.
I don't know why I'm laughing.
Elvis is found serving chips on the moon. Yeah, right. Okay, carry on.
Elvis is really Ken Clark.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, no, I'm going to talk about this seriously, if I may. Right?
Yes.
Ken Clark, right, is the Justice Secretary of this country.
Yes.
Right? He's an intelligent and powerful man.
Right.
And what he said, I agree with both you and Mark, what he said was stupid.
Right.
Right? It was a stupid thing to say.
No.
He put it in a stupid fashion. He meant to say was that there are gradations in sentencing which reflects the mitigation about a rape.
Yes.
That's all he meant to say, and that was perfectly acceptable.
Yes.
But he said it the way he did. He's an orator. He's an MP. He's a politician. You don't make mistakes like that. And then, if you saw his reaction when he came out of the studio, it was appalling. Absolutely appalling. There were photographers flying all over the place as he tried to get to his car.
Right.
This was the sight. And if you saw him last night on TV, I'm sorry, Mr. Clark, but it looks like you've gone to the John Prescott School of Politicians.
I was going to do that on myself.
Oh, sorry. It was just bullying, shilly-shallying, trying to save himself. Why did he just say it dead straightforwardly without embarrassing himself and trying to explain it away? Just, I got it wrong, lads. What I meant to say was, I was talking about the gradations of sentencing, not what it came across as. He tried to make, he said sorry and then tried to explain it away. Silly Billy.
Yeah, I think that he may have said it in a way that maybe he shouldn't have done. But let me say that the way that he did express himself, I'm quite certain, is the way that the majority of the population would have expressed themselves about, if you like, the different gradations of rape.
Yeah, but when he was talking about sentencing and mitigation.
Yes, but I think the real problem here is that, you know, we've got, we're getting a reaction from people who are gunning for him and are sort of, you know, testing what he says with a very, very fine, and maybe he should be aware of that, but I certainly don't think it's for resigning.
Why do you always think that just because somebody says something, it's always rare when they're just making something else? This is a leading politician, Justice Secretary to the UK, right? Who said a ludicrous, ridiculous, insensitive, inflammatory, insulting thing on live radio?
I think he's being gunned for by other leading politicians. And
of course he is when you open yourself up to that kind of
Exactly that. So I think that the ordinary citizen, the person that he represents, by and large, wouldn't have particularly noticed it and would have known what he meant. And I think we all knew what he meant. Yeah. And as for requiring him to resign on this, I think it's been nonsense.
Absolutely. Moving along to the IMF managing director, he has resigned. I don't think he had much choice, really, did he?
Well, he shouldn't have. No, he just shouldn't have. Why shouldn't he resign? He can always get, if he's found innocent, let him have his job back. He did the honourable thing. I think Kenneth Clark should have done exactly the same as him and resigned because it was a ludicrous thing to say. If what Strauss-Kahn is accused of doing, he did, then he shouldn't be in that job anyway.
What happens if he was stitched up?
Well, then he resigned. He did the honourable thing. He got out of his position while everything was sorted out. And then, because if he's acted honourably and he's been stitched up, then he'll get his job back. Or he might work somewhere else doing a similar thing.
But what happens to his wages in the middle of that, then?
I don't think he's short of money.
I don't think he's worried about the
money. No, but come on.
He got into his overdraft.
No, I know that. But I'm just playing devil's advocate. If somebody stitched him up, and I'm not sure one way or the other yet, the fact is, who compensates him?
Well, I got stitched up, like you know, a long time. I can't say who it's by because it was a contractual thing that I wouldn't. But I got stitched up by a major, major company, and it cost them a lot of money ultimately when it was found out I had been stitched up. I don't know.
Listen, if this man has been stitched up, I'm sure that he's powerful enough and well and influential enough in his own establishment and part of the French establishment that they will sort it out. Okay, and he will get.
Well, that's what the French are famous for.
He will get his recognition. Yeah. You know, I mean, one of the problems with this man is that, if you like, he's being hounded not only by American press, but I'm afraid he's being hounded by his own reputation, which, of course, has been hidden in France because...
How can he be hounded by the press? He's in jail, or he was.
He was hounded by the American press, but, you know, that's the way they work. And I don't necessarily... Just a minute. I don't necessarily see that's a problem. I think that he's... What I'm trying to say is that he's now being hounded by his previous reputation in France, which of course has been covered up because the way that the French operate and the way that the French establishment operates, all of these peccadilloes, if you like, are not available to the public in the same way. And I think that has rather shocked the French public that all of this is coming out. They're starting now to know what their man is really like.
I rest every argument I've ever had about the freedom of the press based on what you said, Mark.
Well, talking of freedom of the press, there's been a report out today about gagging orders from the Lord Chief Justice in the UK.
Yeah.
It's the end of a year-long review into the use of injunctions and what are better known as super injunctions for the rich and famous. And super injunctions and other injunctions can only be granted when they are strictly necessary, the group of judges have said. And they've also said, quite interestingly, that the press can go in when these injunctions are being staged in court to report on them if it is that the injunction is not upheld, which is slightly different to what it used to be.
Further than that. I think not only did they say that the press can go in, but I think that actually they said that the press must be contacted and they must know about the proceedings, which I thought was, you know, a sort of excellent, an excellent beginning, if you like. Mm. I don't think we're going to see super injunctions around for very much longer or not in this form.
Can I just point something out again?
Please do, yeah.
They've not done anything. To say that the press can go in and report... on super injunction hearings and stuff like that, and do and following. It's just what's always happened. We've always been able to go into in-camera hearings and report restrictedly on what was said. They've not offered us anything else, anything new on that. They've given us what we've already got.
No, but they're actually Mark's right. They're going to contact.
Yeah, I think they're required to give you notice now. And
yes,
that is
the only different thing. But that's a good move. Yeah, of course it. Oh, I agree with you on that. No, I'm talking about the fact. Apart from that, they have given nothing to the press that it doesn't already have.
I don't see that, because they've come down on the side of the press.
Yeah,
therefore they've legitimised it for you.
They're of all no, that's what I'm saying. You're being misled. We've always had the right to attend. Now listen, let's work this out properly, right? A, we've always had the right to attend in camera meetings, right? Mm-hmm. Where things are discussed to the public, it's anonymous. But we've always had the right to go in there and be invited in there and to report restrictively on what is said and what is done, taking the guidance of the judge.
But there's never been a judicial review of that.
No, because it's always just been there. It's always been...
That's my point. There's never been a judicial review of it. Therefore, it's never been legitimised. And what's happened today...
It's been legitimised because it used to be able to do it anyway.
It's never been challenged.
Can I ask this? In the past, have the press been allowed to make their own representations about the injunction? I don't think they have. And I'm not sure that they are yet.
Yes, they have.
They are. They're allowed to field a barrister and to protest against the suit.
I must say I didn't know that, and I think that's
even better than I thought it was.
Well, that again is a difference between A, you've always had the right to report on in-camera meetings, and the other thing, like the press will be told first about them. Hey, guess what? You used to have to tell us in the past about the in-camera meetings so we could attend. So there's nothing new there either. Absolutely nothing new there. And the fact that the press can contact anybody they want, from the judge to the barristers to the people involved, that's fine. We've always been able to do that. This is just nonsense. It's just nonsense.
But it's never been validated in court, has it?
It's been validated. Well, of course it's been validated in court every time it's happened. Because it's happened in court. And for hundreds of years, for 150 years, these are the rights that the press have had. And the country's giving it back to the press like it's something new. Yeah, knobheads, I tell you.
There speaks a red top journalist. Oh, well, never mind. But there was one point in there where the judge says, it is, of course, wonderful for you if a member of parliament stands up in parliament and says something which in effect means an order or of the court on anonymity is breached. Now, that's quite interesting, because he carries on by saying that it could be flouting a court order by doing that. And so this parliamentary thing could be in trouble as well.
Well, that is where it starts to get interesting, because parliament is, I can't remember what the phrase is now, but you can basically say what you want in parliament.
It's called parliamentary privilege.
That's it. That was the word privilege I couldn't think of, because I've always been underprivileged. Right. And that's it. So there, that's a bizarre way to start looking, because that is actually right at the core of freedom of speech, the Houses of Parliament. They're looking at that. That's a bit sick.
Okay. Moving along to something more interesting. Lady Gaga tops Forbes magazine. Well, no, to be honest, it annoys me, because the normal person in the street has moved from... The normal person on the street has moved from, if you like, looking up to figures that may have been a good person, a good prime minister, a good something else years ago, to sort of football stars and big business. And everybody wants to be famous. You ask teenagers today, what do they want? They want to be famous. Yeah. I'm sorry, that's just absolute hogwash, and it doesn't work. It doesn't work like that. And that's the problem. It's the culture of the younger generations wanting to be famous. That's what my job's going to be. And then you've got a whole load of not proper journalism feeding that, like putting petrol on a fire, to make it even worse. Now, if all this big celebrity idealism dropped off, I would suspect that the need for super injunctions would disappear.
Well, I'm so sorry. I just have to totally disagree with you again. Who was the super injunction lifted on?
Well, Sir Fred.
Yeah, he's not a celebrity. He's not a young person. Right. He was using it to hide his peccadilloes, or his supposed peccadilloes. And he's not young. He's not a celebrity.
No, but he was a target of the media.
He was only a target of the media because of what he did.
Yeah, I know. But I'm saying the ordinary...
He destroyed a bank while he was diddling one of his executives.
Destroyed? I don't think so.
He's as good as Nero, wasn't he? Really?
Almost.
Yeah, exactly.
But there again, it's all been sorted out. Now, let's move on to something more interesting. Here we go.
Not Lady Gaga, no.
No, because this proves my point. If you take the top Forbes list now, we've got Lady Gaga, who should be sort of well up the top, absolutely, in the top spot of the Forbes magazine.
Yeah, right.
Now, if we looked at the top tier in the Forbes magazine 20 years ago... It would have been considerably different to what it is now. Mm. But anyway, Gaga's ranking takes into account her earnings over the past 12 months, estimated at £55.6 million. Blimey.
But that includes overtime, though, doesn't it?
I think it does, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Got a bit of expenses in there as well.
Lee's friend Sir Elton John comes in at number five. And also...
He comes in anything, I'll tell you, anywhere.
And just creeping into the top ten this time round is Simon Cowell.
Yeah, pull your pants up, Simon, and get on with it. How much is he earning? It's nothing, does it?
Not in comparison, I wouldn't have thought. No.
How does Lady Gaga... So, basically, you've got to be Gaga to become a millionaire now.
Well, something like that, yes. I think whoever's...
Yeah, they found somebody's phoning me. Do they do this every week? I wonder if it's the same people.
I don't know. But it does make me say this quite simply, that either she has the most amazing management because her marketing's good, or she is a real eccentric-style artist...
Yeah.
Who can judge the mood of the fan base and work with it?
I think that's right. I think I've got to admit I do like her in a way. She is very talented, and
she's a clever lady. Yeah,
and I like her new song as well very much.
You like what? Sorry,
I like her new track as well very much. I think it's really clever.
I've not heard it. How's that go?
It's not played.
Was a secret. Oh, no, hang on.
That's BBC
Mark's song. You've got to sing it now.
Sorry.
You've got to sing Lady Gaga.
I'm not going to ruin her song by doing that. I might ruin a Bob Dylan track. Well, no, can't really ruin one of those.
It's his birthday next Wednesday. Don't you be rude about him. How would you like it if people were being rude about you on days before your birthday?
What are you buying him, a bus pass?
Freedom pass.
I'm going to buy him a Donovan record.
Oh, no, not Jennifer Juniper.
I went out with her, you know. Tell you what.
Did you really?
Tell you what, the best Donovan track I remember, what was it? It was about Atlantis, that's the one.
Oh, what a brilliant song. Way down below the ocean. That one.
That's it, but it was the guitar bit I liked.
Hang on, how did the guitar
It's got a huge, great rift in the middle of guitars. It's a bit, it's as powerful as, don't laugh, please don't laugh, boys. The Carpenters, calling occupants of interplanetary craft.
Oh, what a brilliant song! Yeah, honestly.
Calling occupants
of interplanetary craft. In the middle, absolutely marvellous.
Do you remember on the other side of Atlantis the song that he did as the B side of that?
No,
I Love My Shirt. It was called.
I do now. We've got to take a break there, boys and girls. We'll be back in part two, and we'll stop wittering on. A postcard from Pop Red.
This is RTI, from the heart of Europe to the world, the station of the stars.